Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, on this early morning. Thank you so much for coming in and joining me today, early as we are. But God's word has got to go forth, whether I have to be at work early or not. I am going to do my assignment. So I am thankful, I am grateful, I am blessed that God woke me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, ready to go to work. Hallelujah for him. And I am excited. We'll be in a new book today. We'll be in the book of Nehemiah. And y'all know Nehemiah is all that and some. You know, when God, an assignment, you get it done. Nehemiah was one of those people that God gave an assignment to finish his temple. And it was his job, and he was going to do it. Hallelujah. And he had favor. Before we get started this morning, and our title word for today is the God of heaven himself will prosper us. And when I went to my prayer for this morning as we start out, it says resource of hope. Purge the hearts of your fellow believers and support one another, just as you have already been doing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, TPT. Great God, you have every resource at your disposal. When I am running close to empty, I know that you have what I need to be filled up. What a wonderful open invitation. Even so, you have set us families and communities. I am so incredibly grateful for the support of my brothers and sisters in the kingdom. When I am discouraged, I find solace in their company. When I feel alone and I reach out, I realize that my situation is not related. I find encouragement that my heart needs in sharing life, the struggles, victories, and everything in between. Thank you for flesh and blood, spiritual family that can support me in my weaknesses as I learn to love like you. Father, the road is bumpy but worth it. I am grateful for the hope that grows in me as I watch others' prayers being answered. As we call on your name together, you reach out and encourage us with each other. What a wonder. When the going gets tough, as it does sometimes with family, keep us bound together in your love that perseveres. Heavenly Father, I reach out and I come to you as I do every day, asking you to please increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, and I am redeemed by the blood of your Son, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I ask again, Lord, please increase as I decrease in the holy and righteous and lovely and great and wonderful name of my Savior, the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. And the question as we start our lesson this morning, this is, how does being with other believers strengthen your hope in the Lord. And I pray those that are with us this morning that you are strengthened by this beautiful, wonderful word of the Most High God. And today, again, our title, the God of Heaven himself will prosper us. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about he said, she said, woo-woo said. Who's going to help? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? God's got you covered. He's got you covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. I'm praying for miracles in my life. I'm praying my year of Jubilee, where all debts are erased. I believe in God for miracles. Hallelujah. And as we go into our word today, we are going to be coming out of a new book. And the new book is the book of Nehemiah. So we will be in Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2 this morning, 88 Psalms starting at 11, verse 11 to verse 18. Our proverb is still the 21st proverb, verses 25 through 26. And we will be in Acts chapter 25, verses 1 through 25. And an overview of the book of Nehemiah from our Know Your Bible. And as we go into our Know Your Bible, again, Nehemiah, says the author is the words of Nehemiah. One through Jewish tradition says these words were put on paper by Ezra. Date of approximate writing of this word was 445 B.C., about 400 years before the Savior, 445 years before Jesus. In 10 words or less, we're going to describe Nehemiah, and it is the returning Jewish exile. Rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem. In details, please. Nehemiah serves as the king's cupbearer in Shushan, Persia. As a Jew, he's disturbed to learn that even though exiles have been back in Judea for nearly 100 years, they have not rebuilt the city's walls, devastated by the Babylonians in 586 B.C. Nehemiah asks and receives the king's permission to return to Jerusalem, where he leads a team of builders against much pagan opposition in reconstructing the walls in only 52 days. Can I say that again? He builds the walls in 50. The quick work on the project shocks the Jews' enemies, who perceive that this work was wrought of our God. Woo! Out what our God can do. They find out that our God does not play. 52 days a wall was built around a city. Come on now. God, when God wants a wall built, the wall gets built. Come on now. When God doesn't, it won't. Think upon me is a quotable scripture. My God, for good according to all that I have done for this people. And I'm going to read that again. Think upon me, my God, for good according to all that I have done for this people. Nehemiah 5:19. Indignant over some fellow Jews' intermarriage with pagans, Nehemiah cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. And that's going to be in Nehemiah 13:25. Nehemiah don't play. Ezra didn't play. Nehemiah don't play. These prophets and these men of God are tough. You know, they are tough. I'm telling you, they don't play. You know, when you get to Esther, we're going to be with Esther next after Nehemiah. You know, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. You know, as we teach our kids the books of the Bible. You know, we have got to understand that when God gives you an assignment, you got to do it. 52 days Nehemiah had to finish his assignment, and he did it. I had to get up at 6 to finish my assignment for this morning. I had to be up and on it and moving because I have to be at work an hour early today. Can't be at work and be on the show at the same time. But I asked God, what should I do? And God said 6 o'clock. So here we are, 6 a.m. You know, those that listen later will understand. You got to do what you're told to do by God. When God gives you an assignment, just do it like the Nike swish. You know, and this is a question for Nehemiah. So what? So what? Why? Nehemiah's success in rebuilding Jerusalem wall provides many leadership principles for today, especially his consistent focus on prayer. On yesterday, Sister Carolyn, the word on prayer. The word that we had was on prayer. Prayer changes things. And when we go to Sister Carolyn's word for yesterday, pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day. So stop. Don't never stop believing God can change things very quickly in life. 52 days, a wall was built. Time to pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day. Never stop believing God can change things very quickly in your life. And she asked us to have a meditating Monday. Nehemiah was a prayer warrior. Play. When it came to the word of God, when it came to his... So let's get into our word this morning. Please join me in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. The word of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chelev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the cathedral, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, that the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, that the word you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, of you were cast out to the farthest parts of heaven. Yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And we'll go back to the life lesson after we finish Nehemiah chapter 2. And it says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, and I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad? For the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also said beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I said to him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they may permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asa, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the cathedral which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. King granted me to do according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent wall and the refuge gate and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lays waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of God, of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Hey, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. We got to have that in our spirit, that whatever it is that you are assigned to do for the Lord, that he will prosper you. He will build your ministry. He will give you where you need to go. He will take you where you need to go. He will help you do what you need to do. All you have to do, just do it in the name of Jesus. And as we go back to chapter 1, prayer burden. And Dr. Stanley tells us, and for those that are saying, what does Dr. Stanley have to do with this Bible study? Everything. I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible. Biblical principles for each day of the year, New King James Version. This is the Bible God has assigned me to read for this year and next year. His will. And Dr. Stanley, God rest his wonderful soul, had a way with words and making everything understandable. So many times we get caught up in the theological rhetoric of the scripture that we forget how the scripture is supposed to be understood. You know, so Dr. Stanley, theologian, an awesome man of God, after God's own heart, breaks down the word in a way that you're able to understand it and that it touches your heart. I'll just tell those that have never listened before, I do get weepy because the word just touches my heart. It takes me there. It just takes me there. And I tell you this, this word is beautiful. Nehemiah was so, he loved God so much that whatever God asked him to do, he did it. It's amazing. And it goes to tell us he prayed, and he prayed from his heart. We have to pray. Sister Carolyn spoke it yesterday. Prayer changes everything. And it says, when Nehemiah heard that his people lived in great distress and reproach, that the walls of Jerusalem lay in ruins. Now, understand, they had been there over 100 years. And that the gates of the city remained burned and broken. He responded with prayer. I sat down and wept and mourned for many days and said, I pray, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear, that you may hear and prayer of your servant, hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. Nehemiah was experiencing a prayer burden. A prayer burden can be defined as a strong motivation to pray for others and to carry the needs of others before God in prayer until God responds. The Bible has a great deal to say about burdens. We are to bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6 and 2. We are to go the second mile in helping another person, Matthew 5 and 41. Folks are thinking you crazy. Why are they doing that? Why are they letting this happen? Why are they, you know, why are they helping them? Because when God gives you an assignment, you do it. When God tells you to help someone, you do it. Whether everybody else thinks you're crazy, what everybody else thinks, I don't know why they're doing that, because God told me to. If you have a problem, you go, you take it to God. It's as much of our ability to bear natural burdens is derived from developing our ability to carry spiritual burdens in prayer. A sense of spiritual weight usually accompanies a prayer burden, a heaviness of heart, a drag on one's emotions, a spirit of mourning, or a feeling of restlessness that we can't seem to shift ourselves away from a problem or need that has come to our attention. God does not act in many situations because we do not pray. God waits for either the co-instigator or the negative situation to cry out to him for forgiveness, or for the victim of the negative situation to cry out to him for mercy. Then he will act. If you feel burdened to pray for another person, God desires to act on that person's behalf. He places the burden to pray on your heart, and he moves through the opening. As you pray, you can get in on the blessing that God has for that person through an answered prayer. We got to pray for other folks. We got to get out of selfishness. We got to learn how to open up and say, Lord, you know this family needs. You know, God, what is needed in their life, what is needed in the church, what is needed by your pastors, what is needed, God. You know they're burdened down, Lord. You know they can't find their way, God. You know the enemy is attacking their mind, God. Can you help them? Will you help them? Our brothers keepers, we're not Cain. We're not murdering each other with our tongues, with everything that we have in our arsenal. We're not hurting, we're helping. We got to pray people up and not tear them down. Nehemiah 1 and 8, remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses. Have you ever noticed how many of the great things God does for his people get started with fasting and prayer? Fasting helps to focus our prayers, and through our prayers, we tap into the limitless power of God. We pray more, most powerfully, when we pray according to the promises of God. where we pray based on who he is and what he has done rather than on who we are and what we have done, we receive God's blessing. We've got to pray. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, I pray to the God of heaven. Potent prayers can be of many types. This must be one of the shortest on record, utterly wordlessly in the seconds after King's question. But when God is in our prayers, mighty things happen. We got to take a minute and pray. We got to take a minute and ask God for healing. For whatever it is you need, ask God for it. If you need a financial breakthrough, ask God for it. If you need hope in a future, ask God for it. Whatever you need, ask God for it. And watch him work in your life. You gotta ask God for it. Hallelujah, you got to believe that all things are possible through our Father God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us strength. All things, not some things, but all things are possible. Even though Nehemiah says, I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12. Even though Nehemiah had been given the authority to repair Jerusalem's walls, he was wise not to tell anyone his purpose until he had seen all of the destruction for himself. That way he could make an unbiased assessment of the situation, unencumbered by the political or financial influences of his enemies. Though we may want to shout from the mountaintop what God is calling us to do, the wisest thing to do is be discreet until God releases us to announce our intentions. We ain't got to tell everybody our business. That is the problem. This day and age, everybody tells their business. I got to tell you what I had to eat. Let me take a picture. I got to tell you where I'm going. Let me tell you. I got to tell you what is going on. Oh, I won the lottery. They got to tell you. The new house, and I got this, that, and the other. I got to tell you. I got to tell you that this is going on with my children, that this is going on with my mama, this is going on with my daddy, this is going on with this, this is going on with that. All your business. Facebook, all your business out on Thread, Twitter, whatever. We don't have to tell everything. Oh, I just need to tell you that I'm going through a divorce. I'm getting married. I'm this. I'm that. I'm. All your business in the street. And then you wonder why folks talk about you. All these stars, they can't go to sleep without telling everybody who they're sleeping with. And then wonder why they talked about in the streets. You know, we got to stop being in the streets, and then you won't be talked about in the streets. You know, folks, you don't. Everybody don't need to know what you have for dinner. Everybody don't need to know what's going on in your life. See, when you tell it, and then you get your feelings hurt when folks come back and talk about you, and talk about you like a dog. You know, there is a Reddit out there, and please forgive me, but it asks if you are the behind hole, you know, and folks tell all their business and then want to get upset when folks tell them, yeah, you are the behind hole. Yes, you are that person because you did this, that, and the other. You know, why are you even asking this question? Why are you even out there? Don't get offended when what you're told hurts your feelings, because you asked the question and folks gave you the answer. You know, there's always all the negativity. Nehemiah had an assignment, but he was not open to negotiation about it. He had to do it. Just like I am not open to negotiations. Whatever God has assigned me to do, I'm going to do it. Even if I have to get up early to do it, I'm going to do it. We have got to do what God calls us to do. You don't need anybody to co-sign your assignment. You don't have to call everybody and their brother and their sister. Do you think I should do this? Do you think I should do that? If God gave you the assignment to do it, just do it. Nehemiah didn't ask anybody. He came for an assignment. 52 days, he's going to build this wall. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. We got to claim it. His servants will. Whatever it is you've got to do, just do it. Nehemiah could not have accomplished what God put on his heart unless he had encouraged God's people in the task. None of us are in this adventure alone. God wants us to walk it together. Nehemiah also understood his task to be not primarily political or civic, but spiritual. Even though it concerned the building of a physical wall, when God puts something on our heart, the core issue always something to take with you today. In the 88th Psalm, 11 through 18, shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water, engulfed me altogether. Loved ones and friends you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. Somebody is going through. This is a prayer because somebody is going through. You're going through. You pray to God. And some folks may say, ooh, that just sounds, no. This prayer, Ezraite, you know, as written by the sons of Korah. This man, Haman, is going through. He is going through. It's like, I'm going through, God, and I need some help. Prayer changes things. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. What? When we pray, lift up, and I'm not talking prosperity meaning money. You know, so many times people, even in the church, get caught up in money. You know, prosperity is money. Prosperity is stuff. Prosperity is getting things. Understand, that's not the prosperity I'm talking about. I'm talking about that spiritual prosperity, that prosperity that you have when you have your cattle on 1,000 hills, that prosperity that you have when your house is being built in heaven, that prosperity that you have when you sit at the feet of God, the prosperity that you have when you can come and talk to Jesus just like you're talking to your sister, your brother, your mother, your father. That's the kind of prosperity I'm talking about. Got all kind of stuff. Get rid of a whole bunch of stuff. But I tell you this, I don't want to get rid of the stuff that comes from my heart that I get from Jesus Christ's prosperity. I need a Jesus prosperity. I need the Savior every minute, every hour, every second. That's the prosperity we need to get, because that's the prosperity that the cankerworm can't steal. That's the prosperity that the IRS can't take. That's the prosperity that you can live in for eternity. That's the prosperity that we want. Hallelujah. We got to know that one day we will wear a crown and we will sit at the Savior's feet. That's what the prosperity we should ask God for. And as we go into our proverb this morning, you know, unless you understand Proverbs 21 is rich. Verse 25 through 26, the desire of the lazy man kills him, but his hands refuse to labor. A man that does not work does not eat. That's the word of God. We got to remember that. The desire of a lazy man kills him, but his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. You got to go to work. You can't be lazy. You got to go to work. People don't eat. Lazy people don't have anything. You got to get up. You got to go to work. That's all it is. You got to get up and do it. You work for the Lord, God will, he will prosper you and pay you. Whatever you got to, whatever bill you have, God will take care of it. I've seen him work in my own life. Big bill, God paid it. God did it. You got to remember that God will and God can do all things but fail. We are the ones that mess up. In the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's the word. And that's what we stand on it. And as we go into Acts, Paul is going through. He's about to, he has an assignment for death. And I'm just calling it like it is. Paul has a death assignment. He knows that he is going to die. He knows that he is going to go to Rome. And in Rome he will die. Assignment. He knows that he is to preach to the Gentiles, the Savior. He knows he is, his job is conversion, to convert some folks from paganism to Christianity. And it wasn't called Christianity, it was called the Way. And he told them, I am a member of the Way, because they tried to call him a Nazarene. He said, I'm not Nazarene, I'm a member of the Way. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died, and I believe that he rose again. And I believe that he stopped me on the road to Damascus as I was going to try to kill more and take Christianity, to take the believers into prison and even into death. But as zealous as he was to destroy the Way, he became just as zealous to build the Way, to build a way to speak the words, to evangelize, to build. He was an apostle, Paul, because he was building churches everywhere. All the churches mentioned in Revelation, Paul had something to do with their building. We've got to understand. We've got to go to work. And God will prosper you. Acts chapter 25. Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days he went up from Caesarea in Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem, while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about, laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? So Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know. If I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. And after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. When they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, there is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against him. To them I answered, it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face and his opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charges against him. Therefore, when they had come together, without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to the reserve for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about to whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. But to me, unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him. Again, folks chasing after Paul, who were trying to destroy what has become a worldwide, continued, thousands of years later, our faith. Our faith has not been diminished. Our faith is still strong because we are and daughters of the Most High God. And we can stop our praise. In Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 25, verses 18 and 19. They had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. To the Roman governor Festus, the gospel story was nothing but the religious fantasy of a superstitious and contentious people. We should not be surprised when secularized people treat it as a myth, and they still do. There are folks out there that think we're crazy, that think there's something wrong with us because we believe in Jesus, who think that, oh, those people, all of that, you know, I don't know why. You know, they believing in that fantasy stuff. When I got to see him, I got to touch him, I got to feel him, to believe all that Jesus stuff. Well, I'll tell you one thing. When you touch him, when you feel it, when you see him, you better understand your days are numbered. Because when he comes back where you can touch him, feel him, see him, it's the end time, end of days. It's when he is coming to cull the wheat from the tear. And if you tear, already get ready, because it's going to be hot in here. That's all I'll say. It's getting hot in here. Yeah, it's going to be hot in here because you're going to be in hell. So be careful with what you want to touch, feel, and see, because the believer knows that he's here. The believer knows that his presence, your place or wherever you are, a believer knows that he is wrapping his loving arms around you, and you can feel him. You can touch him. You can just radiate in his glory because you feel it in your soul. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. Hallelujah. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Acts 25 and 27, it seemed to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him. Festus has no interest in violations, real or imagined, concerning the Jewish law. He hoped that Agrippa, who knew the Jews well, would help him formulate some kind of legal charge against Paul that would make sense to the Romans, because it wasn't making sense. These folks was having hissy fit because Paul was signed to do, to be an apostle of the Most High God, to walk the walk, to talk the talk, to do the job he was assigned to do. And they couldn't handle it because they couldn't handle the truth of a man, because they knew they were doing wrong. They knew that they had killed the Son of God. They knew that he had risen again, because we all know that the guards told the story of the angels. Come on now. The guards told the story of the risen Savior, but they did not want to believe it. So what did they do? They had them all killed. Come on now. So that the lie could go on for centuries, for millennia, to those that didn't want to believe. Because of what? Power. Power. There are those that will follow after a liar and a cheat for power and tell folks that the grass is blue when the grass is green. For power. Power corrupts. And folks that want to be powerful will understand who's in charge one day. And all the money in the world won't be able to keep them out of hell, because you can't buy your way into heaven. And as we go into a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Come on now. Sister Carolyn, don't make me shout this morning. Sister Carolyn is going to make me shout this morning. And all I'm going to say to everybody is just get out of my way so I can dance. She had no idea we will be talking about Nehemiah this morning. She had no idea that we will be talking about prayer this morning. She had no idea that we would talk about a wall that would be built in 52 days. She didn't have any idea that it would be about prayer. Things have a way of working out. Come on now. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday. Hallelujah. Read it again. Sister Carolyn is going to make me just have a moment up in here this morning. Things have a way of working out. Yes, they do. Never underestimate the power of prayer. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God. See you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday, family. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, this morning. She sent that word out at 1:26 a.m. God was in the midst. God was on his throne. And all I can say is thank you, my sister in Christ. Thank you, God, for every one of you who listen later, who listen live. God's word is true. All we have to do is believe and know there's nothing like our Father God. He is always there in the midst of everything. All we have to do is trust him, believe in him, and know that he has our best interest at heart. And again today, the God of heaven himself will prosper us when we pray. Have a blessed day, family. This is all I have. I got to get ready for work. Have a great day. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. May God's arms around you. May his heavenly host sing hallelujah that you can hear it from the heavens into your heart. Keep trusting God and watch him work in your life. The Lord loves you. He cares about you. And he wants the best for you. And again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, trusting in the Lord and knowing that what God has for you is for you, and he will prosper you. The salvation